Good work. Tonight, well, I don't know if we'll be able to get through it all, but we'll give it a shot. And it's on the co-regents, regency in essence, that there's really two kings and there's two kingdoms. And when we started thinking about it, you know, remember Christ is a king, but we all know that Yahweh is a king throughout the word too. So you're trying to reconcile these together. And really, you know, to give you a definition of a co-regency or co-principality, is a situation where a monarchical position, such as king, queen, emperor, or empress, normally held by only a single person, is held by two or more. And we know this is very common. And I don't think our eyes have never been opened too much to the scriptures as they can be once I think this concept comes through. Even though it's not biblical, there's no co-regent. But what we'll see it is throughout the scriptures. Historical examples of this include the co-regency of Frederick of Austria and Louis the Bavarian over the Kingdom of Germany, and the co-regency of William and Mary over England, along with Wales, Scotland, and Ireland. It was also found in Sparta with two kings, San Marino and two captains regents, the ancient Roman Empire, by the termination of Hadrian, and the Byzantine Empire, ancient Egypt, and Nubia. In these cases, as a balance between king and queen, male and female, kings and kingdoms such as Spain and Portugal can also be found. Fernando and Isabel of Castile, Philip I and Joanna of Castile, Philip III and Maria of Portugal. So we're going to see this is a pretty common situation. Then we can see a father and a son, especially when your kingdom is very large to rule. I'm pretty sure this happened in the Roman kingdoms, and we know it happened in the book of Daniel, where all of a sudden Belshazzar, once Daniel told him his dream, he said, I'll give you a third of the kingdom. And so Belshazzar was a co-regent, and that's why he only had half the kingdom at that time. And so he could only give a third to Daniel, which he did, so that really meant three kings, in essence, what it comes down to. So we're going to look at the two kingdoms, and this should have sparked our interest right away, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth. Yahweh is the kingdom of heaven, and Yahushua is going to be the kingdom of what? Earth. You know, until the final deal, final call. So we'll begin at Psalms 2, and you guys have got your places, so be one jump ahead of us. So you're in Psalms 2 right now. Like I said, it's kind of a work in progress, so I'm learning it as I'm going. But it's really starting to open my eyes on how relevant this is all through the scriptures. And without knowing that concept, we're going to be confused. So we're going to read the whole chapter, Psalm 2. And it has one thing to... don't help her. No, she's on her own. This is why you're learning. This is why you're doing it yourself, is to do it yourself.
Got it.
Wherefore hath nations assembled in turmoil, or should peoples mutter an empty thing? The kings of earth take their station, and grave men have met by appointment together against Yahweh and against his anointed one. There we got the two. Saying, let us break asunder their bonds and cast from us their cords. He that sitteth in the heavens, who's that?
Yahweh.
Yahweh, will laugh. My Lord will mock at them. Then will he speak unto them in his anger, and in his wrath confound them. Yet I have installed my king, where?
On earth.
On earth. On Zion, my holy mountain. Let me tell the decree. Yahweh has said unto me, my son thou art, I today have begotten thee. Ask of me, and let me give nations as thy inheritance. Where are the nations?
On earth.
And as thy possessions, the ends of the what?
Earth.
Where is Yahweh?
Heaven.
Heavens. Thou shalt shepherd them with a scepter of iron, as a potter's vessel shalt thou dash them in pieces. Now therefore, ye kings, show your prudence. Be admonished, ye judges of earth. Serve Yahweh with reverence and exude with trembling. kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish by the way, for soon might be kindled his anger. How happy are all who seek refuge in him. Wonderful. So that should give us the clues right there. We have two kingdoms. As we're going to see also in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 10. And so all this evidence is all the way through us. So we know the Lord's Prayer. We say it all the time. And I'll have Elijah read 9 through 10.
Alone day?
Yeah, no. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Go ahead, Elijah. Okay.
Thus, therefore, pray ye our Father who art in the heavens.
Where is he?
In the heavens.
In the heavens.
Hallowed be thy name, come may thy kingdom, accomplished be thy will. As in heaven, also on earth.
Where are the two realms?
Heaven and earth.
Heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. It's always going to be back and forth, heaven and earth. Is Yahushua a man?
Yes.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. Men are earthbound. We're terrestrial, and have always been designed to be terrestrial beings.
Terrestrial means people of Terra or earth.
Yeah, not celestial. Celestial is spirits who are in the heavens with Christ. I mean, with Yahweh. Now, Christ is there right now, but that was the design of the kingdom. So we have the kingdoms of heaven and the kingdoms of earth. We go to Revelations 21, verse 22, and we're going to see the two thrones of the two kings. This is at the end of the book. So if we look at, here's how it begins, here's how it ends, 21, verse 22. And sanctuary saw I none therein, for Yahweh Elohim of hosts is the sanctuary thereof, and the Lamb. There's the two right there. This is, which we will find out, is going to be the final kingdom where Yahweh comes from heaven to the earth. And so it's all going to come together. We go to 22 verses 1 and 2. And he pointed out to me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, issuing forth out of the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb. So we have the throne. Thrones are for kings. The throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb. Now we go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. And here is Yahushua's throne. He that overcometh, I will give unto him to take his seat with me in my throne, as I also overcame and took my seat with my Father in his throne. There's two thrones, two kings together, side by side. Go to Revelation chapter 4, 1 through 11, and this is Yahweh's throne. Remember, Christ is the image of the visible God. No. Christ is the image of the invisible. Christ is visible. Yahweh is
invisible.
In this chapter, he's still invisible. But in chapter 5, the visible image of the invisible Elohim is Yahushua. He is visible. After these things I saw, and lo, a door set open in heaven. Where is Yahweh? In heaven.
Heaven.
That's his kingdom, that there will be done on earth as it is already done in heaven. So in heaven, his will is being done. On earth, it is not being done. But it will be. And the first voice which I heard as of a trumpet speaking unto me, saying, come up hither, and I will point out to thee the things which must needs come to pass. After these things, straightway I came in to be in Ruach, and lo, a throne stood in heaven. Where are we? Heaven. And upon the throne was one sitting, and he that was sitting was like in appearance unto a jasper stone and a sardius, And there was a rainbow round about the throne, like in appearance unto an emerald. So it's just all glory. And round about the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones, 24 elders. Melania, we were talking about mythology, mermaids, the abominable snowmans. Well, there is another world. There is. Those are all myths.
What's this?
Yeah, we're in Revelations chapter 4.
Oh.
You're missing something. Revelations chapter 4. So what we've got is we have mythology, and people want an abominable snowman,
Bigfoot.
All right, but there is a kingdom out there that does exist, and it's called the unseen world. And here it is. Yeah. It's showing us what's going on now. Can we see it? No, but it's telling us all about it. So there are celestial beings that exist, and it's in the heavens. The 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments. What kind of garments do they have?
White.
Let's see what they're going to do. And upon their heads, crowns of what?
Gold.
And out of the throne are coming forth lightning and voices and thunderings. And there are 7 torches of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 ruachs of Yahweh. And before the throne is a glassy sea like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne are 4 living creatures full of eyes. Here's another one. Now look at it. What do they have? How many are there?
4.
What do they have?
A lot of eyes.
Eyes. Before and behind. And the first living creature is like unto a lion. And the second living creature like unto a calf. And the third living creature hath the face of a man. And the fourth living creature is like unto an eagle flying. And the 4 living creatures, each one of them have severally 6 wings. Round about and within, full of eyes, and it cease not saying day and night, saying what?
Holy.
Elijah? You're not following me.
I haven't found the spot yet.
Revelation chapter 4? Okay. Tim?
Holy, holy, holy. Glory to God the Almighty, who was and who is coming.
And whensoever the living creatures shall give glory and honor and thanksgiving unto him that sits upon the throne, unto him that liveth unto the age of ages, the 24 elders will fall down before him, and sitting upon the throne, and do homage unto him that liveth unto the age of ages. Who is this we're talking about?
Yahweh.
Sure, the invisible God.
Mm-hmm.
And will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Worthy art thou, Yahweh, our Elohim, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, because thou didst create all things. Who created all things? Yahweh. And by reason of thy will, they were and were created. Chapter 4 is about who?
Yahweh.
Chapter 5 is going to be about his son, the other king. And when he opens up the 7 seals, those 7 seals are going to happen in heaven or on earth.
Maybe the 7 seals are going to happen.
He's going to open up and the tribulation comes.
Heaven.
That's what the 7s, no?
Earth.
This is the judgment of the earth. The 7 seals, they're in heaven.
Yeah.
We're going to see, he's opening up the 7 seals. Who's worthy to do this? And these are the judgments upon the people of earth. That's why Yahushua is opening them. And I saw upon the right hand, chapter 5, verse 1, are you there? And I saw upon the right hand of him that was sitting upon the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed up with 7 seals. So we're still talking about Yahweh. And I saw a mighty messenger proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the scroll and to unloosen the seals thereof? God the Holy Spirit. God the Son. No. Gabriel the Archangel. Or Michael the Archangel. Gabriel the Messenger. No. And no one was able in heaven or on earth or under earth. So we're talking about heaven or earth.
Or under the earth.
To open the scroll or to look therein. And I began to weep much because no one worthy was found to open the scroll or to look therein. Who could be the righteous judge more than anybody else is somebody who has experienced all that mankind could experience. So he can say, there's no excuses, I've been there. You know, I know what can be done and I know what cannot be done. That is Yahushua, our Savior, the man, the mediator between man and Yahweh is Christ Yahushua. Verse 5, and one of the elders said unto me, do not weep. Lo, the lion that is of the tribe of Judah. Judah, that's earth beings. The root of David hath overcome to open the scroll and the seven seals thereof. Who's the overcomer?
Yahushua.
Yahushua. He's from the tribe of Judah, which is a lion, from the root of David. And I saw in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders a lamb standing, showing that it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven ruachs of Yahweh sent forth into all the earth. And he came and at once took it out of the right hand of him. Who's the him?
Yahweh.
Yahweh. That was sitting upon the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and bowl of gold full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sing a new song. So there are the two contrasts between the two kings, one in the heavens and one who will be on the earth. Now we go to Revelation chapter 19. So we're reading the end of the story, and we see their kingship and the culmination of all that was planned coming into fruition. And then that will help us understand the prophecies in the middle, which we don't quite understand many times, or we take them out of their context. 19 verse 11 through 18. So somebody want to read 11 through 18.
And I saw heaven set open, and lo, a white horse. And he that was sitting thereon called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. And his eyes are a flame of fire. And upon his head are many diadems, having a name written which no one knoweth but himself. And arrayed with a mantle sprinkled with blood. And his name hath been called the Word of Yahweh. And the armies which were in heaven were following him upon white horses, clothed with fine linen, white, pure. And out of his mouth is going forth a sharp sword, that wherewith he may smite the nations. And he shall shepherd them with a scepter of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the wrath of the anger of Yahweh the Almighty. And he hath upon his mantle and upon his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
I'm sorry for this, man. Where is this occurring?
Heaven.
On earth.
On earth, yeah.
This is on earth. This is the judgment coming out on the people in the Armageddon. He's coming out of heaven.
Okay, yeah.
All right, but it's the judgment on Armageddon. Verse 17.
And I saw one messenger standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying unto all the birds that fly in mid-heaven, hither, be gathered together unto the great supper of Yahweh, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them who sit upon them, and the flesh of all, both free and bond, and small and great.
Here we go. We'll stop there. That is the judgment. He's coming to rule the earth for 1,000 years. The earth, not heaven. Revelations 20, verse 4 and 5. And I saw a throne, and they sat upon them, and sentence of judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them who had been beheaded because of the witness of Yahushua, because of the word of Yahweh. and as such have not done homage unto the wild beast or unto his image, nor have received the mark upon their forehead or upon their hand, and they lived and reigned with Yahweh.
Nope.
No, because guess what? They're not in heaven. They're going to be on the earth. Lived and reigned with the Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were ended. So we have to understand, well, everybody's got everybody going to heaven the minute they die, or going to hell. It's just, it completely defeats the whole word of Yahweh. Then none of this, there is no 1,000-year reign. Everything's already happened, and people are already in heaven, and they're not going to live on the earth.
Yeah.
You're insane. You haven't even read the book. And so what it shows me, you haven't even read the book, especially the end of the book, the end of the story. So we got a 1,000-year reign going on. Verse 11 and 12, the 1,000-year reign on earth. Why is the 1,000-year reign not perfect? Why is Yahushua in Psalms 2 using a scepter of iron cracking heads?
Because there are still evil people on earth.
Why are there evil people? Because those people are not immortal. They are
mortal.
Mortal. So there are still men, you know, we're going to be there, who are immortal, incorruptible. We have been changed, and as he is, so will we be. We don't need to be cracked over heads. So we have to say, what is all this going on in 1,000 years, and why do these people come and try to attack Christ's kingdom? Because they're mortal men. The bad people have not been raised yet. So it's not the bad people raised and unleashed again. Because we see here the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were ended.
Yeah.
So these are people who, we know who survived the book of Revelations, tribulation, and in my opinion, are also the people who die prematurely without making Yahushua their Lord. I believe they're going to be raised and get a chance to say yes or no in this 1,000-year reign. Which, and all the babies who die before they were born, etc., people have never had a chance. This is the perfect time for them to exist and to be reigning, to be living under the reign of Christ, Yahushua. And if they don't like it, they can choose, I'm not going to live under this reign. Or they can say, I'm going to live under this reign. And then they will receive life, age, and body, just like we do. Okay, we got that. Verse 11 and 12. And I saw a great white throne, and him that was sitting thereon, which is Yahushua. This is on earth. We're going to see Yahweh coming down a little bit later. There are from whose face fled the earth and heaven, and place was not found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged, other things written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and the dead in Sheol gave up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, each one according to their works. And death and Sheol were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. If anyone was not found in the book of life written, he was cast into the lake of fire. So you have to understand, the book of life are people who have chosen through their good works to make Yahushua their Lord, or make Yahweh their Lord. Children don't have that opportunity. And so many times what people try to do is they'll just put them in heaven right away. So Left Behind series, just put them in heaven. Well, that's not fair. You know, for one thing, they've never even made a choice whether they even want to be there. So they must be given another chance to be written in the book of life or to be cast into the lake of fire. Those are two fates. Now we go to 21 verse 1 and 4. Now, death, the other kingdom, Yahweh's up in heaven kingdom, Yahushua is on earth kingdom, the co-regency, or the co-regents, the two kings, Yahushua is always representing who? Yahweh. So it's always that, but this is your kingship, this is my kingship. Now, since death is gone, Death is what keeps, in my opinion, death is what keeps Yahweh away from the earth. And now death and Sheol are gone. There's no more uprisings. Because now everybody who is going to be present are the people who want to be. All the people written in the Book of Life are present. All the people who are not in the Book of Life are where?
Burned
like a fire. Consumed. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth for the first heaven and the first earth. And this could really be the former, because there's really three heaven and three earths, we know in Peter and Jude. So the former heaven and the former earth have passed away, and the sea is no more. And the holy city of New Jerusalem saw it coming down out of heaven, going where? If it's coming down out of heaven, where is it going?
The earth.
The earth. From Yahweh, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice out of the throne saying, lo, the tent of Yahweh is with angels.
With men.
Well, I thought it's already, all that people are in heaven right now, so the tent of Yahweh is always with men. If they're in heaven, we got billions of people up there. No. The tent of Yahweh is now with men. Why? Because they're terrestrial. And he will tabernacle with them. I thought he was already tabernacling with them. See, all this this foolishness that we've been taught. And they shall be his people, and he shall be Elohim with them, and he will wipe every tear out of their eyes. So that is the story. Now we can start saying, okay, now it makes sense when we go to Zechariah chapter 14. You already there?
No.
Boy, you're going to get an F in this class.
Hey, we don't have grades in this class.
Yes, I am watching you. This is a pop quiz.
Where's Zechariah?
900.
911, so it's... Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Right before Malachi. People have no idea that Christ is really mortal men on earth. And they don't know the Old Testament, which is the whole foundation of the Word. They've already just injected everybody into heaven, and that's the end of the story. Mm-hmm. So death becomes our friend. There is no paradise. There is no earth. There is no good. There is no white throne judgment, because people are judged immediately when they die. You know. So look at verse 9. This is great.
Which chapter?
Chapter 14, verse 9. Now we have to think it. He's going to say Yahweh is king, but it's talking about people on the earth. And these people are going to be doing bad things. So this has to be, what time period are we talking about? If people are on the earth and Yahweh is the king, then it has to be the 1,000-year reign, because these people are going to be disobedient. So when so will Yahweh become king over all the earth. Okay, so we have co-kings, co-regency, because Yahushua is king, but he always does whose will?
Yahweh's,
which means, you know, it's Yahweh's kingdom and Christ's kingdom, but they're one and the same will. So will Yahweh become king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Yahweh, and his name be one. And this is all going to explain why, we're going to find out here, why are men doing sacrifices, you know, in the temple? Because we know with Christ's 1,000-year reign, he's going to rebuild the temple to Yahweh, and there's going to be burnt sacrifices like there always is. So what's going on here? Could that be the angels or that are sending these burning the sacrifices? No. Could it be us who have been incorruptible and made like unto him? No, it's not us giving sacrifices. So who's there who's still sinning? It is the mortal man. And so they've got to bring their sacrifices to Yahweh for their sins and for their holidays and everything else, you know, because they haven't made that connection yet. They haven't become immortal or incorruptible. So let's look at this. It's very great. And verse 9 or 10, and all the land shall turn into a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and shall lift itself and shall lift herself on high and abide in her own place. From the gate of Benjamin up to the place of the first gate, up to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel up to the wine presses of the king, so shall men dwell therein, and utter destruction shall not be any more, but Jerusalem shall abide in security. And this shall be the plague wherewith Yahweh will plague. No, wait a minute. We know when Yahweh comes to the earth, when is that? That's after death is destroyed, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's thrown in the lake of fire. That's in Revelation 21. So that's when he actually comes down, but it's saying Yahweh. So who's our representative of Yahweh? It's Yahushua. And because we have plagues still coming. And this shall be the plague where, and who's these plagues on? Mortals. Men. Yahweh will plague all the people who have made war against Jerusalem. His flesh shall be made to rot while he's in standing upon his feet, and his eyes shall rot in the sockets, and his tongue shall rot in his mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that there shall be a great confusion from Yahweh among them, and they will lay hold every one upon the hand of his neighbor, and his hand will rise up against the hand of his neighbor. Moreover also, Judah will fight with Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the nations round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, the mule, the camel, and the ass, and all the beasts which shall be in those camps, like this plague. And it shall come to pass, as for every one that is left out of the nations that came against Jerusalem, they shall come up from year to year to bow down to the king, Yahweh of hosts, and to celebrate the festival of booths, which is a requirement for all Hebrews, the three festivals. This is one of them. And so it shall come to pass that whosoever shall not come up out of the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to bow down to the king, Yahweh of hosts, there shall not on them be any rain. Very simply, who's that on? Mortal men, because they're still doing the earth. And if the family of the Egypt shall not come up and shall not enter in unto whom they there falleth none, then shall smite them the plague, so death is still present right here, wherewith Yahweh did plague the nations, because they came not up to celebrate the festival of booths. And this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations when they come up not to celebrate the festival of booths. So you go, okay, so this has to be the thousand-year reign of Christ. So now that makes sense. It's calling in the kingdom of Yahweh. But as you know, when you have co-regents, you know, you could have Cyrus and Cambyses, or William and Mary, or, you know, Ferdinand and Isabel. They're co-regents.
Joseph and Pharaoh.
Yeah, that's what we're going to go into, Joseph and Pharaoh, if we have time. Now we go to David, and here's the whole foreshadowing of Yahushua. So the kingship is on David, 2 Samuel chapter 7. Here's some very insightful things. Christ is of the seed of David. And so we have to say, David was a warrior all of his life. And so there's a huge connection, in my opinion, between David and Solomon. David was a warrior and fought all his life. That's Christ. Christ is going to be the man of steel and velvet. Solomon was a man of velvet. His name means peace. Both of them reigned for 40 years. So my opinion was, why, you know, when you get into the explanation of Solomon's temple, which at the end Solomon fell, why do you get this elaborate description of this huge kingdom that he built, how wealthy it was? Well, that is to show Christ what he's going to get. So Christ is really seeing his temple that Solomon built, and he's going to see his kingdom that Solomon had. So David and Solomon are a half and a half to make a full Christ.
Oh, I see.
So David's a warrior. Christ is going to be a warrior for 1,000 years on the earth and fight. All right, and then you're going to have this glorious wealth that Solomon had, and his kingdom went everywhere, and the jewels went everything, and so all the pain, because fighting gets very, you know, saddening. But then that thing, so this is not for Solomon, this is for Yahushua to be reading his future in David's life and in Solomon's life, because those are his parents. Isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. Now, 2 Samuel 7, verse 4. Whoop, I'm not even there yet.
I am.
Very good. So why don't you start reading, somebody want to read 4 through 17.
What chapter name? I'm sorry.
Chapter 7. And this is really beautiful. Well, I better read it, except the kids. Let's see here. No, I'm 2 Samuel chapter 7, sorry, 4 through 17. This is the covenant that Yahweh is making to Yahushua through David. So, you know, brilliance on what's happening. So, David comes up to Nathan and says, I want to build Yahweh a house. Who's going to build Yahweh a house?
Solomon.
Yahushua is.
Oh.
Yeah, and yeah, so is David and Solomon. But Yahushua is going to build the house also. That's Ezekiel, the rebuilding of the temple. And everything's going to be happening because Zion is what do you call it, like point zero? What would be a battle thing?
Ground zero.
Ground zero, where everything issues from. The water of life comes from the Mount Zion. Both times, in the 1,000-year reign and in Yahweh's reign. So Mount Zion is the center of all action, which is so astounding because what are we doing in heaven? You know, we're not talking about Zion. When I say Zion, it's Zion. People say Zion, but that's not how you pronounce it. It's Zion, like Z is a zebra. It's all the way through here. And so Zion has just been thrown out by everybody. This place doesn't even exist. It's not our future habitation. Yes, it is. It's a future habitation for all of them. Let's see. We've got about 10 minutes left. We've got to do this probably two parts another time. And so it was in that night that the word of Yahweh came unto Nathan, saying, go and say unto my servant. I just love that. You want a relationship with Yahweh? Be his servant. My servant, David. You know, golly, could you say, God, our spouse should almost be able to, we should be able to say, go to my servant, Wendy, or go to my servant, Chuck, or go to my servant, Tim. I mean, and that kind of relationship to say, wow. I mean, that's just, you know, when I was reading about Moses and Aaron, when things would happen, they would fall down on their face, you know, to supplicate for these people. But just falling down on their face is such a humbling and such a great heart that we need to emulate. Thus saith Yahweh, shall thou build me a house for me to dwell in, seeing that I have not dwelled in a house since the day that I brought up the sons of Israel out of Egypt, even unto this day, but have been wandering in a tent as my habitation? Wheresoever I have wandered with any of the sons of Israel, spake I ever a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I charged to shepherd my people Israel, saying, wherefore have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus shalt thou say unto my servant David. I just love that preface each time. My servant David. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, I myself. Hey, this is great. We must remember this. Was David a prophet?
Yes.
Yes. Why isn't Yahweh just talking to him directly? You know, there's reasons for that. Many times Yahweh is going to talk to us through somebody else.
Yeah.
Even though we have that same ability. And so Nathan is relaying this message. Verse 8. Now therefore shall thou say unto my servant, unto David, thus saith Yahweh host, I myself took thee away from the pasture, from after the flock, to become leader over my people, over Israel, and was with thee whithersoever thou didst go, and have cut off all thy enemies from before thee, and will make thee a name like the name of the great one who are in the earth, that will appoint a place for my people, for Israel, and will plant them, and they shall inhabit their place and be unsettled no more. Neither shall the sons of perversity again humiliate them as at first, even from the day when I will put in charge over my people Israel. Thus will I give thee rest from all thine enemies. And Yahweh must tell thee that a house will Yahweh make for thee. Isn't that great? He's wanting to make a house for Yahweh, and Yahweh says, I'm going to make you a house. And it shall be, when thy day shall be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. Now, here's what we say today. When thy day shall be fulfilled, when you go to heaven, then will I raise up thy seed. No. Then will I raise up thy seed after thee, which proceedeth from thy own body. That's including Yahushua, his only begotten son. And I will establish his kingdom. And if you have a kingdom, you have to have a king. He shall build a house for my name. That's Solomon and also Yahushua. And I will establish his kingly throne unto time's age abiding. And where is this throne? In heaven or on earth?
On earth.
On earth. And I will become his father, and he shall become my son. If he commit iniquity, then will I correct him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the sons of men. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I caused it to depart from Saul, whom I caused to depart from before thee. So shall thy house and thy kingdom be made steadfast unto times aged body before thee. Thy throne, we're talking about kings, shall be established unto times aged body. There is the prophecy of Yahushua and his kingdom, and David and his kingdom. Let's see where we are. Now we go to 1 Chronicles 28. This is wonderful. Verse 2 through 7. Then David the king rose up on his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, it was near my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of Yahweh and for the footstool of our Elohim. Why is it a footstool? Because the earth is his footstool. Where is Yahweh? His kingdom is in the heavens. Yahushua is going to be king on the earth. And I will make ready to build, but Elohim said to me, Thou shalt not build a house for my name. This is great too, that who got the whole design, the revelation of the design of the temple? Who?
Moses?
Nope. David. Yeah, David got it. And he got all the building material together. Solomon put it together. But Yahweh gave David all the blueprints. Isn't that great? And like he did with Moses with the Tent of Meetings. So Moses got all that. David got all this. And so you're still building the temple for Yahweh. And Christ building the temple for Yahweh. 4. Howbeit Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, made choice of me out of the house of my father to become king over Israel. And two times age abiding. For of Judah had he made choice to be chief ruler, and in the house of Judah, or Yoda, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father with me, was he well pleased to make me king over Israel, and from among all my sons, for many sons hath Yahweh given me, he hath made choice of Solomon. And it's so strange. What is the lesson? Who is Solomon? Who's his mother?
Bathsheba.
Isn't that strange? Isn't that the strangest thing possible to say, and who is Bathsheba?
Uriah the Hittite's wife.
Yeah, Uriah the Hittite, which is always mentioned. But obviously forgiveness is great, and Solomon comes from Bathsheba, and you're like, never saw that coming.
Yeah.
After a sin like that, my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of what?
Yeah.
Yahweh. So here is Solomon sitting on the throne of the kingdom of Yahweh. So Solomon is the representative for Yahweh. David was a representative for Yahweh. Yahushua is a representative for Yahweh. Over Israel. And he said unto me, I mean, we can just kind of stop there. Then we go into, well, you know, in Matthew 1, well, let's not even go into Matthew. How much time we got? God, we got 3 minutes left. That's about half. We better just stop here. You know, so it really gets heated up in this other part. So we'll have to do this another time. Otherwise, it'll probably take about another hour.
Maybe next week.
Yeah, that'd be good.
We don't want him to hear it.
Yeah. I can't believe it. Tim and Donna planned their vacation once they heard that Izzy and Shy were moving on the island. They said,
what about you? Leaving with the birth of the baby.
Yeah. Hey, don't switch this around.
Wait a minute.
Just kidding. Okay, Elijah, you want to have a closing word of prayer, and then I'll give a prophecy to the people according to 1 Corinthians 14. Now look at the camera.
So it's like a prayer?
Yeah, it's a word of prayer. Thank you for the teaching.
And thank you, God, for this teaching and what everybody here and everybody that's watching in the future or right now that learned today or will learn in the future, and that what... Yahweh did for us, and we should know that He is the kingdom of the heavens and Yahushua is the kingdom of the earth.
Amen.
And thank you for this great night you've given us and everybody here to learn something. Amen.
And Father, we thank you for this as our King, and thank you, Yahushua, as our King, the co-regents. And we thank you for these words. Thank you for Christ for paying the price that you can pour out Ruach upon us, that we also can prophesy. As Moses said, I wish they were all prophets once the Spirit is poured out. So we thank you for exercising that and have confidence in you. And my sons and my daughters, as you walk forth in this day and in this moment, in the power that I've endued you with, I have clothed you with power on high in order that you may manifest my glory, my wisdom, my goodness, my humility, my power to the people who I brought you into contact with. So exercise that power. Do not be sly or be lax in this, but exercise that power that brings glory unto me and not unto you, because people know that you have not done it with your own senses. So I've given you the Ruach in order for you to exercise it. Exercise it daily as I call upon you. Rise up in faith. Rise up in serving me, and I reward you greatly for these.